Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, and this is Tammy.
Hello.
Lynn with the hype fan. What do you got to say to your fans, Tammy?
Hello, everybody. And I don't think I have any fans.
You do so. You got mad fan base going. Huge fan base.
Well, hi, everyone. God bless
coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Saturday, February 24th, 2024, coming right up. It is the Book of Acts, chapter 16. Don't you dare miss it. We get into a lot of greasy stuff here, and we're going to let Paul and God sort it out for us. How do you conduct yourself around people like this? Don't worry about it. We have obscene, mob scenes. We got diviners. We got people running their mouths. It's all in here, chapter 16, the Great Book of Acts. So please turn with me in the Bible. In your Bible, I got to gear it down a little bit, Tammy.
I was going to say, well, you may need to take a little... Do you need a juice box and a blankie?
Juice box and a blankie. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, please. And while you're doing that, please consider the Companion Chapel as a registered nonprofit ministry. Whatever God-given talent you have, God expects you to use it. And the many member body of Christ, help glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word. Help us. Come partner with us to get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world. People want to hear the truth. It's the truth that's the problem now, not misinformation. But we're standing for the truth.
There's a certain group of people that want to hear the truth, but most people talk around.
And that's why it's called a remnant of truth. And I know that's why you're watching. Listen, for a $10 bill, we'll send you one of these. These are cool, man. This is what we call bling in the hood. And you can get these for the mirror of your pickup truck or whatever you drive. If you drive a little poop box like Tammy, she might put that on the mirror, or with your favorite things. And for a $10 bill, companionchapel.com. And it's so important that you email us. Companionchapel@gmail.com. Listen, your necklace will come in one of these little package there. And you know, we look at the analytics now once in a while, the metrics, and we see people from all over the United States. Not many people in Canada, because we're censored up here, obviously. Canada's the most censored country in the world. But through the United States, through Florida, through Texas, through New Jersey, New York, email us. All the way over Seattle, Washington, down that coast, it's the West Coast and the Eastern Seaboard. Email us just to say hi, companionchapel@gmail.com. And importantly, too, like there's people in Africa, Ireland, Germany, you know, listening to us. We need to know like where you're listening from. Because sometimes we're not very good at reading the analytics. And I don't dive deep into them. It's our job is to teach the Bible. And whatever God-given talent you have, God expects you to use it. And the many-member body of Christ, God is calling you to action. Come together, my peculiar people. He's saying, that's me, that's you. We're getting ready. There's nothing more important than where you go when you die, is there, Tammy?
I don't think there
What possibly is more important than where you go when you die? Anyways, here's your book of instructions before leaving Earth. Right here, the Bible. Chapter 16. The book of Acts. Then came he to Derbe to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but her father was a Greek. Okay, fair enough. So what? This is Timothy. Big shout out to Timothy. Don't forget, in Paul's epistles, he's joined in six of Paul's epistles. You know, when those introductions, those salutations, is salutation the first part of it, or is that same by?
A salutation?
Yeah.
That's high or by.
Yeah, like when you read Paul's epistles, right? You see Timothy in the headlines or in the letterhead six times. Like this is big, and his mom was a Jewess.
Okay. And I just want to correct one thing you said. You said her dad was a Greek?
His dad. Yeah, Timothy's dad. Okay. That's fine, okay? And we're getting introduced to Timothy here. This is Timothy of the Book of Timothy 1 and 2. Okay, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Okay, so people are talking about them, man. People are thinking, okay, these people are solid people. Not a soup sandwich. They're solid. Okay, would Paul have to go forth with him? Anyways, let's talk more about, I'm not done talking about Timothy here, because remember we talked about him yesterday. A believer, his mother Eunice, and her mother Lois, they taught this boy, okay? And dad was a Greek. That's fine. You can be a Gentile. But that's probably what happened here when we're talking about verse 3 here. Paul would have to go forth with him and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. You know what? It was probably dad that on the eighth day said, no, we don't have to get this kid circumcised. Okay, so we're talking about circumcision. We went over it yesterday in great detail. Now, when you're 8 days old, what do you know, right? It's up to mom and dad to say, okay, God, and what's that other thing? Christening, right? That's not baptism. You didn't get baptized when you're a kid, okay? That circumcision was assigned to God from way back, and if it didn't happen to you, don't worry about it. It just means your parents weren't into it. They weren't into the Bible at that particular time. So what? And it's only males anyway. What about females? Like, we're leaving half the population out. So don't worry about it. If it didn't happen to you, it doesn't matter. It just means, you, like I said, your parents weren't down with it. And same with this baptism. And I'll tell you a story, and this is personal. We shared this morning, right? Yeah. I've been studying for a long time, for example, this Bible, 2001. And I got another Bible over there just as used as this one. What was my problem, Tammy? I was learning to talk it, didn't walk it, and there was something critical I did not do. I didn't get baptized as an adult. And that was a big deal when Tammy baptized me. Tammy, you gotta admit, things are different since that baptism.
Like,
it was no cakewalk. It doesn't mean I'm a Christian now, like it's going to be a cakewalk. You're gonna realize things. It's called an awakening, spiritual awakening. And
you baptized me in the river out back.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, there's just been something that's been different.
Yeah, something's different. It's a sign of obedience to God. Okay, so why did Paul cave and get poor Timothy circumcised? Because these guys wouldn't stop hounding him, man. And that's what happens. I forget my notice. When somebody is like aggressive dishonesty will make you doubt yourself. Like the constant obsessive messaging of aggressive dishonesty, and everywhere they go, oh, he's not circumcised, you know. And you got the drunk Jewish rabbi smoking a cigarette with that rusty blade in his pocket just waiting, right? Yeah, well, can you imagine if all Christians had to do that? There'd be none, you know. If people didn't get circumcised, and all of a sudden, like we talked about this yesterday, and you're 25, 30 years old, and for example, I was in the park teaching the Bible a few years ago. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? Did you get circumcised? You can't be a Christian unless you know, go get your cut, right? As if. That's beyond all reasonables. That's ridiculous. So let's see what these people are doing. They're just trying to discredit people. And that's just the MO of villainizing, lying against, mock, discredit, pointing fingers. It's forbidden in the Bible. Circumcision is of the heart. And we go through that in the book of Deuteronomy twice, in the book of throughout the Bible, in the book of Romans. Tammy, we don't sneeze on set. That's not who we are. That's not who we are, Tammy.
I tried holding it back as hard as I could.
Sneeze?
Yep. It's really not good to hold
back. All right, so anyways, in the book of Romans it goes, it's circumcision of the heart. That just means you've cut something away that you've opened up your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've opened up your circumcision of the ears, you know, to his message. Jesus Christ is the author of salvation. He is the living word. He is perfect in righteousness, perfect in trustworthiness. He is the perfect truth, that great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. There is your Savior. And he wants his children back. But there's rules there. And you don't want to hear these words. Depart from me. You never took the time to get to know me. Can you imagine? You spent decades to learn one book, and then you meet your maker. There's no doubt about it. And you hear those words, absolute mortification of the soul. And we don't want that for anybody. And that's our motivation for doing this. It's not a rusty razor blade.
I got that in my pocket.
All right. Yeah, Tammy. Okay. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. Okay, so they're, okay, here, okay, you guys got questions about the manuscripts? Okay, we're going to write it down for you, and this is how you're going to present it, and we're going to run the threads through the Bible, because the threads are through the original language manuscripts, through the original language words, and they run threads. The etymology of the key words makes threads through the Bible. It's a glossary. The Bible contains its own glossary from the original language only. And that's what they were teaching back then, the original language manuscripts. Obviously, Jesus Christ referred to it when he said, I came not to change one jit or jot of the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill. All the laws still are enforced, except for the blood ordinances and everything that went with that, because Jesus Christ was the one and only blood sacrifice, the greatest blood sacrifice in the history of the universe, the most selfless act of love and compassion the history that the universe has ever witnessed. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. Mm-hmm. So they went around and they're, the reason I went there is because when he said one jot or tittle, That's a direct reference to the Masoretic text. That's why I went there. So they're going through the manuscripts. Okay, we'll show you. There's a glossary in this book. It's called The Secret Code, whatever people want to call it. We found it, and we're trying to share it with you out through any English version you prefer. And so there were churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's awesome. Many member body of Christ coming together. That's opposite of just sitting there and not coming together, and people don't engage in life. Now it's easy to get, you know, to not engage in life. You notice? Like people can get stuck all the time.
I get stuck all the time.
Tammy, we don't drink on set, man. So.
Yes, I do.
Vodka straight up. And now when they had gone throughout Phrygia into the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Why? They said their prayers. And they get that gut feeling. They get that thing. They say, yeah, let's not go there. Okay? When you submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and you have repented, that's a change of heart, a change of attitude towards the sin itself. You'll feel that Holy Spirit say, yeah, okay, no, don't go there. And after they came to Mysia and essayed to go to, they're talking about this, let's go over to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. No, they said their prayers first. They just didn't, you know, grab a ball of liquor and just say, hey, man, let's go trip around over to Mysia.
Touch my water.
And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Was that Slenderman? Who cares? This guy. He saw it.
Slenderman was there. Slenderman.
Okay, anyways, Paul saw this dude in a vision, and that a vision means to discern clearly, okay? Because they're praying. Where should we go, right? You know what I mean? Like, they're just... okay, we got to go somewhere. And after he had seen the vision, he discerned clearly. Immediately, he saw the vision, Paul. And who's we endeavor to go? Luke. Luke authored this. Okay, there's another one of Luke's trademark stamps here. Luke is here, entered. We endeavor to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Okay, because they prayed about it. That's why. Therefore, loosening from Troas. This loosing just means they're on a cruise ship, right? This old crate, this floating pallet thing that they call a whatever. Right, Tammy? These old boats, these leaky boats from Troas came with straight course. Probably had to roll the damn thing to Samothracia, the next state to Neapolis.
At least they didn't take 10 years to not get a boating license.
Dude, there's too much terminology, and there's too much navigating terminology out there. That's why I failed my boating license. I don't even care. Thanks, Tammy.
You're welcome.
For embarrassing me. I failed my boater's license. I'm not even allowed to drive a canoe in Canada. I have to sit in the middle.
You're so bad at it.
And from this to Philly. They went to Philippi, which is the chief city, a part of Macedonia and the colony, and they were abiding certain days. And what were they doing? You think they were sitting in a tavern drinking beer? What do you think they were doing? They're teaching the Bible. They're talking about God, thinking about God. It's in their heart. It's in their minds. It's in their psyche, their spirit, the intellect of their soul. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the riverside. Hey, this looks nice down there, right? Let's go sit down by the river. Why not? Right? Nice shady area. Where prayer was wont to be made. We want to go down and say our prayers down by the river. And we sat down and spake unto a woman, which was chilling out down there too. It must have been nice. And a certain woman, hey, there's Lydia, seller of purple. Hey, we get some women in the Bible here. She's from Thyatira. Don't forget, in the book of Revelation, this church failed, but not this woman, Lydia. She worshiped God. She heard us. That means she wasn't sitting there running her mouth. She heard us. She was listening, okay? Engaging in worshiping. Whose heart the Lord opened, because she opened it up to him. That's why. And that she attended unto the things which were spoken of to Paul. She listened, you know, taking notes, thinking about things, talking about things, not questioning things or mocking things or trying to delegitimize things. Just, yeah, it's okay. This is good. You let the Holy Spirit flow into your heart. Her heart was circumcised. Lydia's heart was open. Her ears were circumcised. They were open. And when she was baptized, and her whole household, that's so important. Don't read over that. She besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now listen, seller of purple. This is just no lady out for, you know, she's a businesswoman. A seller of purple. This is royal purple. This came from a lot of work. You had to get these seashells and you had to make this dye. That's what a seller of purple was. She was a businessman. She was a stand-up woman. You know, and she got her whole household. Just read into the Lydia here. In the town of Thyatira, which was an epic fail in the book of Revelation, the first seven churches.
Right.
Only Smyrna and Philadelphia were passed. They took her in. Okay, thank you very much. That's just awesome. That's what the many-member body of Christ is supposed to do, assemble yourselves. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Okay, don't look over this. First of all, this word divination is actually the Greek word python, snake, spirit of the snake, spirit of, you know, Satan himself. Okay, you got to be careful. Remember Saul's... When Saul went to a diviner and she summoned up demons, devils, evil spirits, come up. The demons come up from below and they're for real, because if you put your will over to it, they will mess with you. Soothsayer here means a fortune teller. And it's another word that's only used once in the manuscripts. Mantuomai. And this means like she's a fortune teller. Demons come up. If you will yourself over to them, they will tell you what you want to hear. And I mean it for real. For real. They will lead you on. They will say things to you like, only one person, only my grandma knew that, called me that, or something like this, or a little phrase or something, because they are right there just beyond our current perception of physics. If you don't have the veil of Christ and the hedge of God saturated by the Holy Spirit around you, then demons, devils, evil spirits will play a snare drum on your head. They will mess with you.
They will pretend to be that grandma. They will pretend to be your relative. They will pretend to be something that they are not in order to gain your trust, in order for you to open up, let them in, and then, boy, oh boy, you've just let the demons and devils into you by allowing this.
They come in peacefully and prosperously, but there is an evil, sinister, underlying frequency to this that will lead you astray, right into Satan. It'll lead you to your longings and wants. It'll lead you to massive disappointment, massive failure, just mortification of the soul. Be very careful. Oh, it's true. These things are for real. They're in the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible is the living word. This is Jesus Christ is the living word. And if you don't believe it, then you think Jesus Christ is a liar. Verse 15, okay? 16. So here's this lady. And the same lady who was making a lot of money in your little fortune-telling booth, right, for a business, follow Paul and us, so Luke speaking there, and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What's she doing? It sounds like a lot of people I hear commentators say, oh, she's turned her ways over to, you know, giving Paul credits and stuff like, no, she's taunting them. She's one of the most popular people in town. Watch what happens here. She's taunting, following around. After, she did this for days. That's what demons, devils, evil spirits will do. They'll just never leave unless you say, Jesus Christ, by the power you so graciously bestowed upon me, I can never thank you enough. That is universally recognized. I rebuke Satan, all evil spirits, demons, devils, all powers, principalities of Satan, everything that is corrupt, everything of the darkness, everything that offends you in your kingdom, I rebuke from inside me and all around me, and everybody that's watching this and praying for Tammy and everything, please saturate me with your Holy Spirit. Cover me with your veil. Wrap me in your vesture. Please hold my hand, my Lord Jesus Christ. You are my shepherd. I shall not want another. My good shepherd, my great shepherd. You are my only shepherd. You're my only protection. You are my rock, my only stability, my only certainty. You are my fortress, my high tower, my only safety, my only security. Only begotten Son of God is the only protection. That's all you have. But these demons, devils, evil spirits will just get you going. And look what's done on the world stage today. Satan is the prince of the air. Okay, let's fly through this, man. I want to do 40 verses today. Okay, so she's getting taunted. They're taunting these guys. But Paul grieved. Like, this is getting to be a pain in the butt, right? Turn and said to the Spirit, you know, I would have said something a lot different, but anyways, here comes Paul. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out of her the same hour, okay? Because we have power over demons, devils, evil spirits. If you're cleansed, if you have the faith, and they will leave. But they, let me tell you something about demons. They just sit there and wait for your next weakness. You have to continually pray. Demons, devils, evil spirits just sit there and wait. For example, if you have the demon of drugs or a demon of alcohol and you've beat it, don't you think that demon's not just sitting there just waiting? They have patience. Time means nothing to them. Nothing.
They're just waiting for something, a speed bump in the road of life, and they are going to jump on you.
So Paul tells her to shut the blank up, and out comes the demon. And when her masters, that's her boss, running the fortune teller booth, saw that the hope of their gains, like their money, is now gone, like she can't do it anymore because the demon's gone. They grabbed, this caught Paul and Silas and drew them. This is where drew is dragged. They grab Paul and Silas and drag them into the marketplace unto the rulers. You notice Timothy's not involved here? We're going to get to that. Why didn't they grab Timothy? We'll find this out. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these are the lawyers of the time, right? The crown attorneys. We'll talk about crown attorneys later. These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble in our city. You know, look, they just ruined our cash cow. That demon's gone now. It's been expelled by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do that for you. And they're calling them Jews right away. These guys came from Judea. That's how this word Jews is, okay? And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. We're Romans. Well, guess what Paul's got in his back pocket? His birth certificate that he's a Roman. He doesn't say anything yet. What can you say when you got a mob mentality like this, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them? Dude, I would have been awesome back then. I totally, who can throw themselves to the ground better than me? Like, I think I should have been living back then. Just like...
I've seen some epic tantrums and some epic throwdowns.
There's a mob mentality going here. Like, Paul couldn't even say, wait a minute, yo, I'm Roman. He couldn't even say nothing because obscene, mob scene going on here. They're determined and they beat them. Like, we're not talking just, you know, we're talking rabizo. And that means rods. Like, they had weapons, man. They were just going on. And then they laid stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. This word stripes, man. Like, I'm telling you, these guys took a poop kick in here. The stripes is like those, that stupid leather thing. And when it hits the skin, it tears a strip off. First, they got beaten with, like, sticks, like rods. Like pieces of rebar and pieces of leather. They're surrounded. These two guys, what were they doing? Trying to teach the Bible. We couldn't hang on with that. Like now we get beat up by downvotes and people complaining against us and stuff like that. And we think that's bad. We're getting mocked by everybody in the county, you know. But these guys physically got beaten and thrown in jail, who, having received such a charge, the jailer thrust them into the inner prison. That's put him in the hole. That's the inner prison. And make their feet in stocks. That's segregation. With no criminal charges. Mob mentality. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. These guys are singing. Imagine their wounds, right? They wouldn't get the nurse there having any polysporin or anything. Like these guys, and they're clamped together in stocks. So that means they can't even move. So what do they decide to do? They screaming and yelling. Are they freaking out, making a scene? No, they're singing. Now watch the key word here. This is going to be a big deal.
They're praying and singing.
They're singing praises, and this is the word homino, okay? And I followed this thread through the Bible this morning, and this takes us to, how do you say that? Hallelujah, the hallelujah songs. So they're singing praises. Remember Psalms 47:7. When you're singing in church, you're supposed to be singing the Psalms, not some stupid hymn book. There, I said it, okay? These stupid hymn books. When I went to church as a kid, I was sitting there with my Bible, never opened it once in 9 years. Not once. Isn't that just disgusting? Absolutely unacceptable. There was 3 hymn books in front of us. None of them were the book of Psalms. None. And now they're up on big screens. And okay, so what were these guys doing? Psalms 47:7 says, you sing the Psalms with understanding because somebody's teaching it to you. Okay, we're gonna hit this hard here. And what were they singing? This is the great Hallelujah Psalms. We're talking Psalms 113, 115, 116, 118. Hallelujah. You know what? I left church after all those years, and I still didn't know what Hallelujah means. Praise ye Yahweh. Praise ye Yahweh. That's what Hallelujah is. Praise ye Yah. That's just short in form. Compared to today's churches with these rock and roll bands, you notice how these rock and roll bands in the last couple churches, they start off slow, right? You know, they get the song going. Everyone has to stand there, and they're singing slow, and then the beat picks up, and the beat picks up. It's like, what do we have, 90s rave here? Is anyone selling some Molly? Like, let's. When's the beat going to drop, right? And then these guys are running around with flags in their hands in the air. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's being on Molly, or that's adrenaline. like I'm just looking around. Like, what are we at, an 80s rave? Like, and it's up to the pastor. Then the pastor will come out when everyone's just like freaking out because the beat goes, so when's this beat going to drop? And then it drops. Right, Tim? And we still don't get to sit down. And then the pastor comes out with an inspirational speaker. What is he doing? Sugarcoating the word. Hey, man, this takes us to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. And we're going there. We're going to hit this.
You know, that was one of my favorite churches. We've been to a bunch of churches. That was my favorite.
That sucked, man.
What do you mean? It was my favorite
church. Do you know how hard it was not to sit down in that chair after 35 minutes? And then one day I looked over, saw someone sitting down. I go, good, I'm going to sit down too. It ended up being someone in a wheelchair. I felt so bad. So I had to sit, I had to stand back up and pretend I didn't mean to sit down. It was 35 minutes of this rock and roll. Start out slow, go higher, go higher. Is the beat gonna drop? And
it was awesome. And those guys running around with the flag.
That's a sideshow, man. It was, that was stupid.
It was awesome.
Are you kidding me, Tammy?
That was my favorite. It was just such a show.
It was, yeah. And he would come out and he would put on a good show. Remember? Okay, I'm trying to find Ezekiel chapter 3. Listen, okay, preacher, pastor, and anyone that supports these preachers, pastors, including you over there, chicken lunch sandwich. Okay, listen. Warning from me, God, listen to the words of my mouth. This is Ezekiel chapter 3 to these fake churchy churches, man, putting on a big sideshow. When I say unto the wicked, okay, this is God saying, talking to preachers, thou shalt surely die. You're going to the hell side, man. You're spiritually dead. You go to go somewhere where there is no praise or presence of God whatsoever. You go over there, spiritually dead. And thou givest them not warning. Okay, preacher, you didn't give them warning because you're too busy sugarcoating the word, running some kind of freaky rave, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Teacher, you have to put the word out there, and you cannot sugarcoat it. That is one of the most dire warnings to pastors, preachers, whoever wants to pick this up and broadcast it or stand behind a pulpit somewhere. Ezekiel chapter 3 lays it out. But if you warn the wicked, if you warn someone wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, yeah, he can go play somewhere else. He can go die in his iniquity, but you will be okay. At least you did it. At least you told them. You didn't sugarcoat the Bible. You said, hey, listen, man, there's nothing more important than where you go when you die. And I forgot the next line. I was having a good roll there. I just totally forgot. Okay, what verse are we on here? There's nothing more important than where you go when you die.
Yeah, that's 100%.
I know. Well, there's something that rolled off my tongue and I forget. Okay, so here we go. And suddenly, after they were singing away, after they'd been beaten, like just beat this, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. That's how God does it, with the vibrations of his voice, of his thundering voice. He can create, he can make anything happen. That's how he does it. It's beyond your current understanding of physics. You better get over it, because it's irrational to think you know more than God. God cannot reconcile irrational people. So there they are, right to the foundations. Now think about this. Watch this guy. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, that would be like the warden, right? seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and he was going to commit suicide, supposing that the prison had been fled. Like, this is a breakout, right? Remember Acts chapter 12, verse 19? When Peter got out, and it was Herod, I believe, and he's like, bring those jail guards in here. Like, you had one job. One job! And you couldn't do it. And they got executed, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay? And this is what this guy's thinking, too. Like, this is a big job. Okay? You had one job. This guy's gonna kill himself. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, don't do it. Don't hurt yourself. We're here. Bring a light. Come on in. And he came trembling and fell down before their feet. Why? Because there's something inside of him. He's convicting himself. He knows there's something inside of him. He wants it out. He wants to come to terms with what's inside of him. That is not conducive to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. He wants to fill that inner void with anything except the hatred of the world. So here comes this guy. What do I call him?
He's warden. A jail guard.
The warden, yeah. And brought them out. Okay, fell at their feet. Okay, because this is just too much for him. Brought them out and says, sir, what must I do to be saved? He didn't say, calling all the other jail guards, this is a breakout. Let's just execute these guys. He knew right away. He knew right away. He was shaken to his foundations. He was ready to be told of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was ready. Now, what do you do for other people that aren't ready? Yeah, you can plant a little seed there, and if they stomp on it, go play somewhere else. I'm not casting my pearls before swine. Forget about it. Just forget about it, right? It's like the people around here. Just forget about it. They'd rather mock and humiliate and belittle you, knowing all along that they have an inner void that will never be filled. And we pray for everybody. We pray for everybody. And they believe on the Lord and Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. Notice again, and thy house. You bring it home to your household, man. Who is your family? The many-member body of Christ. There's people in our families, like our blood families, there's just no hope whatsoever. Divided. They just don't care.
A divided house can't stand.
They only care about themselves. Their spiritual values, principles, their spiritual integrity never goes beyond self-interest. And we pray for them. And I told you, I had a nightmare about the two closest relatives I have. And they came in, and it was time to study, and they had better things to do. Mm-hmm. That was a nightmare I just had, just like 2 nights ago. It's just like, this is for real, man. There's going to be a great separation of people. You've exhausted your caregiver. You have no excuse. You have something so much better to do now. That's called self-service. You serve yourself now. You're going to forever regret it. You serve God now and the family. How many times, okay, we're not dogging our families here, but they're never going to watch us anyway. How many times as a family, between me and you, our families, did you sit down and open the Bible? Zero.
None.
Absolutely zero. And my family went to church, zero. And that is inexcusable. And I'm not dogging them. I'm saying it is time to repent now and understand who God giveth much, he expects much in return. And he gives you decades to learn one book. And we pray for everybody, man. I pray for those people. But, you know, you've exhausted your caregiver. You just don't care. And they would rather smirk and laugh at you.
You know, in my family, I walked in. My grandmother was reading the Bible.
Mm.
And I asked her why she was reading it, because I had never seen anyone read the Bible before. And she said, well, it gives me peace. That was it. That was the total conversation.
Maybe that's all she knew. So that's good.
But she never said, maybe you should read it.
Yeah, well, it's like with my grandma gave me that Bible over there when I was 11. I knew that was the greatest gift I'd ever received ever in my life because I hung on to it. And apparently out of 50 cousins, I'm the only one that read it. And I pray for everybody.
Yeah, right? I don't know why if my grandmother read the Bible, why they didn't share it with us.
Well, we'll just leave it at that. Yeah. And they spoke into the word of the Lord, and they were all in his house. They spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your savior, your salvation, your deliverer, your redeemer. He paid a price for us none of us could pay. And when they had brought them, okay, and he took them in the same hour, same night, washed them up, washed their stripes, and was baptized. He got baptized, and all his whole family, straight away, they just got on with it. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before him, he gave them something to eat, right? And rejoiced, believing in God with all his house, not sitting there watching TV, not sitting there talking about nothing or complain about this or complain about that. But with our generation now, you go into a house, and us growing up, especially in the 80s and 90s, it was someone in the room had a death grip on the remote control, and that TV was on all the friggin' time.
Okay, well, all now the time. Everybody's got a TV, PlayStation, computer in their room.
In the screens now.
And phones. Yeah. And so when you walk into a house now, everyone is in a different room.
Yeah.
Watching screens.
All right. That's woe unto those who build house unto house. Yeah. Spiritually dead houses. We pray for everybody. But for us growing up, yeah, we go into someone's house. It was like, shh. We were told to be quiet. I can't even count how many times I wanted to talk and say something. And we were hushed because the freaking TV was on. Like, how important that piece of thing was in the room. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just absolutely beyond all reasonables. And it's still like that to this day. And when it was day, the magistrates, that's the crown attorney, sent the sergeant saying, loose those men and go. Here's the magistrates, okay? This would be like the crown attorney. And if you ever get into court, like I've been in court a few times in the 90s and 80s, it's like, you look at these magistrates, like just dumping charges on people. In the book of Luke, it tells us, listen, you do not put false charges on people. That's for you, magistrate. That's for you, cops. And that's from God. But they just do that anyway. I said to a crown attorney, listen, man, your job as a lawyer engaged in public prosecution, is it to convict or is it to find justice? They don't care, just like this guy doesn't care. This is a great example. It's the same today. Nothing new under the sun. Here's this dirtbag crown attorney, sent sergeants, okay, we better lose these guys because we don't have any charges against them. Like, we beat the hell out of them. Tell them to get lost. And the keepers of the prison told the saying to Paul, the magistrates, having sent, okay, let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. Okay, you guys, no hard feelings. Paul's like, go blank yourself. They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, no charges. Hey, here's Paul's card, and I'm a Roman, and have cast us into prison. That's so against. Bam, mob scene. Called them Jews from Judea. Weren't listening. That's what courts are like today. They knew Timothy was a Roman. So Timothy wasn't in jail, but they put this guy in jail. He says, no, we're not leaving. We're not leaving. You thrust us out privately. You're going to try and sweep this under the rug? Forget it. This was against my civil rights. This was against the laws of the nation. Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Yeah, you guys, you send those that mob scene over here, and we're going to show them what you guys did to us yesterday, and all we were doing was teaching the Bible. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, because if Herod heard about this, these guys would have been executed. That was the law. There was no messing around. They were scared. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart from the city. Now they're begging with them, right? Come on, man. What's it going to take for you guys just to get out of here? And Paul's like, no. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And they hung out. They seen the brethren and comforted them and departed. They left on their own terms. What a great story, you know? Well, isn't that just the greatest thing? I thought I could do that in 20 minutes, but, you know, Tammy talks a lot, so it's just a little bit extra time.
Yeah.
Anyways, I want to thank you very much for watching. Like, subscribe, whatever you can do. It helps the algorithm spread the word of God. Have yourself the greatest
God
day.
God bless you, everyone.
Just don't say anything yet because I can't see.